What You Missed on the Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lin. Only on Money FM 89.3.
Well, digital technology and online devices have become such an ingrained part of our day-to-day lives that for many, it's almost hard to let go of these digital technology in our lives. Thankfully, Arizona-based Limelight Networks has managed to do just that with their State of Digital Lifestyles Report 2018, which has just been released. The aim of this report was to survey 5,000 consumers of streamed digital content from 10 countries all over the world, including Singapore, to gauge their perceptions of online technology. Now, some of the findings include over 80% of respondents claim online digital technology has improved their lives, and almost half of all the consumers surveyed claim that their mobile phones have become so essential that they won't be able to stop using them even for more than a day. So while this may seem like a great news for businesses that operate in the digital technology sector, there are still some issues of concern for customers as well. About 40% of consumers surveyed are worried about the security of their data and their privacy when using these devices connected to the internet. And joining us to this discuss all this is Joshua Abbas, the Regional Director of Limelight Networks. Welcome to the studio, Joshua.
Thank you.
Okay, according to the report, Singaporeans are among the least likely to pay for digital content, especially when it comes to movies and TV shows. Why? And do you think it's because Singaporeans are very satisfied with the offerings available on TV now?
Based on the survey that we have done, overall in Europe and in Americas, users and consumers tend to pay a lot more on entertainment compared to Singaporeans. Some of the reasons that we could attribute that is Singapore as a country has very good infrastructure, very good internet connections, and the expectations of consumers in Singapore is pretty high. Unless a service that can provide them with a very good user experience, there are a lot of other alternatives that can be used for free. So unless the service that is available for Singaporeans, which has a very high quality, very good user experience, they would not spend money on those services. So that's probably one of the reasons we can attribute towards why Singaporeans are less likely to pay for service.
Let's take a little closer look at the issue of piracy. According to the Coalition Against Piracy, Singapore is one of the biggest offenders in the region when it comes to the availability of illicit streaming devices. This despite services like Netflix, Amazon Prime Video being available here. So is rampant piracy a sign that perhaps these paid for streaming devices are not giving the local audience what they want, or you can't beat free?
Yeah, it sounds very bad, but I don't think it's all that bad. But the report points out a very important aspect. Piracy is not an easy thing to do. One of the reasons Singapore as an economy, as technology-wise, is very matured. So the ability for consumers to get content, to use technology, is much easier than anywhere else in the region. If you look at internet connectivity in Singapore itself, access to technology, access to devices, I think they are much more accessible in Singapore than in countries elsewhere around us in Southeast Asia or so. Added to that, the expectation that Singaporeans are much more matured in terms of what they want, and they will look for it, and they will find it, and they will get it, and they'll find ways to get it. So that happens as the consumer matures. So those are a couple of reasons we can attribute why Singapore as a country, we see a lot more piracy rampant than anywhere else. And like you pointed out, Netflix, Amazon Prime, their catalog, their content is not as good as it is elsewhere in the world. As and when businesses can provide services that outperform or perform as good as any of these streaming services, and they have content that is very interesting, that should Singaporeans, I'm sure, will move to pay a lot more than what they're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, although Singapore has the second fastest average broadband and mobile download speeds in the world, your report found that over half of the Singaporeans blame their internet service providers for difficulties in downloading and streaming content. What are some reasons behind this discrepancy?
Yeah, definitely. It's about expectations. Singapore has bandwidth available to us in excess of 1 Gbps when we are at home. And when we come out, our internet connectivity during non-peak hours is pretty good. So, I mean, so we have found out that that's the same amount of expectation we expect 24/7, 365 days a year. But it's not possible because during peak hours, like during office rush hours, we do not have excess capacity when everybody else is streaming their content. So it's just similar to whether we build more bandwidth, which will not be used during off-peak hours, businesses will continue to work and make sure that the services that they build perform equally well during when there is an internet bandwidth crunch, which is usually the office peak hours or during any major events. That's basically how businesses should look at it, is what can they do to provide a very good user experience across all devices at different points in time.
Let's turn to mobile phones. We understand that little tiny screen is the focus of so many eyeballs. They're apparently the most preferred device to consume media on. One of the teething issues companies face when optimizing delivery of content over mobile phone screens is bandwidth or changes in bandwidth. Are there some solutions you can offer for businesses looking to solve this problem?
Exactly. This is the problem that arose from multiple devices. There is a device proliferation and each device needs a different format. There is a lot of technology behind the bandwidth variation that happens during different times of the day itself. Businesses can basically work with companies that provide services like the content delivery networks, like Limelight Networks, one of them. Is basically what technology companies do is they have a technology to figure out what devices the end users are using, what is the bandwidth that's available to them, and adaptively change as to what's the quality of streaming that they have to deliver to them. So that's kind of improves the user experience for the end users, and basically the companies in this crowded market, the companies can differentiate themselves against their competitors.
Okay, let's move on to talk about security right now. You found that Singaporeans are more concerned about the security of their data than consumers from other countries and parts of the world. How come?
The report focused pretty much on the digital lifestyles, and security has become an integral part of anything we speak about digital now. We see there are so many security breaches happening globally. The Singaporean consumers are very well informed. This is partly because of the work the government does in letting people know the pitfalls, the scams that happen. So, in a way, the Singaporean consumers understand the pitfalls, they understand technology, and they understand the implications of security breaches. So, if the consumers do not know anything, are not aware of it, they would not care much. But Singaporean consumers are very aware of the pitfalls. I mean, say it's not surprising that Singaporean consumers are aware of the pitfalls, they are concerned, and rightly so. We have seen time and again the security breaches that are happening from sources we least expect to happen. I think from a business's point of view, that is something they have businesses have to address if they want Singaporean consumers or consumers in general to use their services, knowing very well that their data is secure, their online personas are secure.
What do you think businesses can take away from your State of Digital Lifestyles report when it comes to understanding millennials? I understand that for those between 18 and 25, one of the most interesting findings from your study was 18 to 25 year olds ranked the lowest out of all age groups when it came to average dependence on digital devices.
Yeah, that's surprising, right? The key over here was the report we did. It was the average dependence. So the devices that were measured were mobile devices, desktop devices, personal assistants, and also trackable devices. Mm-hmm. Across mobile devices and desktops, the 18 to 25 age group ranked pretty high. The dependence is pretty high.
Okay.
But coming to digital personal assistants, assistants like Google Home or Amazon Echo, and also trackable devices like wearable devices, health monitoring or sports tracking devices. I think in these two segments, if a personal assistant is basically a decision that's made at home by probably a senior member in the family, or to an extent, 18 to 25 is not the age group that will use this technology, and also personal tracking devices. 18 to 25 is probably slightly below when people get employed and have enough money to spend on this. So I think as an average, the two segments where home personal assistants and trackable devices, that's what skewed the data. As we have seen. But when it comes to mobile usage dependency and laptop dependency or desktop dependencies, it's as high as any other group.
Okay, maybe we have time for just one final question. Much has been made of cloud-based security in recent years. Can you give us an outline of what exactly cloud-based security solutions are? How do they work? And what makes them more secure than other existing security solutions?
In the past, when a company or a business has to implement security devices, they have to invest very heavily on CapEx, buying appliances in home, building technology in the company. But about the cloud security is everything has moved to cloud. So companies like Limelight Networks, we spend millions of dollars in R&D every year. We know the leading indicators. We see what a company needs in terms of making their business successful and secure. We spend resources building that technology and making it available to the businesses. So the more R&D spend across multiple number of users helps it a viable solution for most of the companies across the world, and at the same time, the scale that it can address, that makes it good why cloud-based security systems are better.
Thank you for joining us. You heard there Jahir Abbas, who is Senior Director, Southeast Asia and India of Limelight Networks. We've been discussing Limelight Networks' State of Digital Lifestyles Report for 2018, which was just released. Thank you.